Hosea in chapter 5, we'll read through the end of chapter 6. Hosea chapter 5, we'll read starting in verse 1, we'll go through chapter 6 and verse 11. Starting in verse 1, these are the words of God. Hear this, O priest. Give heed, O house of Israel. Listen, O house of the king, for the judgment applies to you. For you have been a snare at Mizpah, and a net spread out on Tabor. The revolters have gone deep in depravity, but I will chastise all of them. I know Ephraim and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you have played the harlot. Israel has defiled itself. Their deeds will not allow them to return to their God, for a spirit of harlotry is within them, and they do not know the Lord. Moreover, the pride of Israel testifies against him, and Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also has stumbled with them. They will go with their flocks and herds to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn from them. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have borne illegitimate children. Now the new moon will devour them with their land. Blow the horn in Gibeah and the trumpet in Ramah. Sound an alarm at Beth-Aven. Behind you, Benjamin. Ephraim will become a desolation in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel I will declare what is sure. The princes of Judah have become like those who move a boundary. On them I will pour out my wrath like water. Ephraim is oppressed, crushed in judgment, because he has determined to follow man's command. Therefore I am like a moth to Ephraim, and like rottenness to the house of Judah. When Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Jareb, but he is unable to heal you, or to cure you of your wound. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim, and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear to pieces and go away. I will carry away, and there will be none to deliver. I will go away and return to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. In their affliction they will earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day, that we may live before him. So let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? For your loyalty is like a morning cloud and like the dew which goes away early. Therefore I have hewn them in pieces by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and the judgments on you are like the light that goes forth. For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. But like Adam, they have transgressed the covenant. There they have dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of wrongdoers, tracked with bloody footprints. And as raiders wait for a man, so a band of priests murder on the way to Shechem. Surely they have committed crime. In the house of Israel I have seen a horrible thing. Ephraim's harlotry is there. Israel has defiled itself. Also, O Judah, there is a harvest appointed for you when I restore the fortunes of my people. And that is God's word. Here the Lord calls in the first few verses of chapter 5. He calls them to listen to the call. Listen to the charges against them. We find a long list of these sins again, the charges that come. They are guilty of persecution, spiritual whoredom, pride, apostasy from God, tyranny of the princes, and tameness of the people in submitting to it. He knows all their wickedness. He knows how great his wrath is towards them for it, that they should fall in their sin. God will forsake them, their portion shall be devoured, his wrath will be poured out upon them, and that won't change unless they turn and repent and turn back to Him. In chapter 6, in the first three verses, you see their response to God's judgments. It looks like they're repenting. They want to come back to the Lord. But it is not from their heart. And it is not loving to Him, to know Him truly, to want to obey Him in all their ways. It's the opposite. It's lip service. Because you see how He responds to it in the verses that follow. Many of them in their professions, their promises of repentance were not genuine. So God takes a severe course against them. And He says in verse 6, a famous verse, "For I delight in loyalty," that is the word hesed, covenant mercy, covenant truth here, it's the one way that we ought to translate it, loyalty. They're not loyal to Him, they're not faithful to Him. You don't have that covenant loyalty. But that's what He wants. Rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God, rather than burnt offerings. Is that saying that they shouldn't offer the burnt offerings, that they shouldn't offer the sacrifices? No, but those are less than what is more important than just knowing the Lord. They don't even know Him. And so why would they sacrifice? And if they did sacrifice, they mean nothing. And so God is saying, I delight in loyalty, that's covenant faithfulness, covenant loyalty, rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God, rather than burnt offerings. In verse 4 of chapter 5, at the very end it says, "And they do not know the Lord." And that's all He wants. He just wants them to know Him, and to be loyal and faithful to the covenant. And yet, just further disappointment, because the end of the passage shows their violation of that covenant. And so, beloved, we're called here again to see our sin. We're so sinful that we must turn to God, lest we be like Israel or Ephraim, as it says here. When it says Ephraim, it's talking about Israel. That's one of the tribes of Israel. And so it's just, every time it says Ephraim and then Israel, it's just kind of that repetition to show it's everybody of Israel. And you need to see, it's Israel that's not knowing the Lord. It's Israel that's not loving Him, it's not being faithful to Him. It's Israel who's not knowing Him, acknowledging Him. And so we are called here to turn from our sin, lest we become like them. Let's pray. Father, we exalt that You, and You who are a God who is just. You are a God who brings judgment upon the wicked. And we are thankful that You are a God who does so. You are a holy God, a righteous God. If You were not a God who did that, then You would not be the God of the Scriptures. You would not be the God who gave us Christ and sent Him for us to die on the cross. We thank You for everything You've done and how You've loved us in Him. We pray that we would not see that sacrifice, as Israel saw the sacrifices pointing to Him, and that we would not be like them and seeing them, but then not caring at all about what's happening, but rather going after other gods. Let us not be like those who go after other gods, who come to a point in their lives, even as a whole nation, they did not know You. Lord, we confess today that we know You. We profess it. We acknowledge that it's true. We do know You. We know the truths about You. We trust in You for our salvation, in Christ alone. We know and acknowledge that by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, that we would not boast in us ourselves, but rather boast in You. It is from You alone. Let us never come to a point where we continue sinning and become complacent in it and not caring about it. And then over time we continue loving the things of this world, the pleasures of this world, and then eventually forgetting about You altogether. May that not be us ever. That we would not suffer the judgments talked about here, and worse, eternal damnation, being like those who are warned in the book of Hebrews, falling away and committing apostasy. But rather, Father, may we be like those who heed the call here and truly repent, not just with our words and sounding pious and holy, but with our hearts turning back to You. Father, here we acknowledge a nation, Israel, who forsook You, and yet we acknowledge our own nation has done this as well. They do not bend the knee to Jesus, who is King over them. They do not submit to Your law and Your word. And we pray that one day You would save them and many who lead our nation and lead us in that way. Otherwise, we know our end. It's just like Israel's. It's just like Judas. Our end will be destruction. And we pray that would not be true of the church and the church here of our congregation and the churches throughout our nation, but rather that You would increase the church worldwide and the gospel would go forth and that many would hear and believe unto salvation. Father, we pray that we would know You and know Your Son, know Your Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.